Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report for April 14th, 2025. I'm Phil Adler. The recent outperformance of European stocks has been noteworthy. Confluence Associate Market Strategist Thomas Wash joins us to discuss why this may only be the beginning. Thomas, we've discussed the appeal in prior discussions of European defense stocks, but just to be clear, we're focusing today on European stock markets as a whole. Correct?
So first off, thank you for having me, Phil. Today's report examines the potential implications for European stock markets if a shift in the global financial system leads investors to move away from holding dollars. The key takeaway is that as global growth slows and alternatives to the dollars are sought, Europe could emerge as a viable option. However, for this shift to have lasting effects, structural changes in Europe would still be necessary, particularly in reducing bureaucratic obstacles and excessive regulation.
The recent outperformance by European stocks compared to U.S. stocks comes after a long period of underperformance. Just how long before this recent surge have European stocks lagged?
Phil, do you remember Y2K? Because that was the last time European stock markets consistently outperformed their U.S. counterparts, which was in the early 2000s. The shift was largely driven by the dot-com bubble bursting, which crushed U.S. tech stocks while European markets were relatively tame. Yet, the broader trend of U.S. equities dominating European peers has persisted for nearly 50 years.
And what has been holding Europe back?
One big reason is that European companies aren't as productive as American ones. Europe has many rules that make it hard for businesses to start up and grow big. Because of this, European companies stay smaller and focus on being stable rather than growing fast like many U.S. companies do.
And let's review, how have European stocks performed lately compared to U.S. stocks?
I believe the main driver behind this performance shift was changing investor sentiment about Europe's economic outlook. At the start of the year, many were optimistic that the war in Ukraine might end and oil prices could fall, leading to greater regional stability and lower energy costs. Another key factor appears to be growing EU concerns that the US might reduce its security commitments to the region. This has pushed the bloc, especially Germany, to consider increasing their defense spending, which has benefited certain sectors and contributed to the market rebound.
Thomas, is it possible to pinpoint the origin of this turnaround by European stock markets?
The turnaround seemed to occur around the time of President Trump's inauguration, as he openly expressed his willingness to push for a swift end to the Ukraine war. You see, this bolstered confidence that tensions in the region would eventually ease. Additionally, the momentum gained further steam when Europe began considering plans to create an EU-wide budget to boost defense spending, a move that followed President Trump's criticisms of the bloc for failing to meet its NATO defense commitments.
Is it possible to view this as basically a shift in investor preference from growth to value stocks, prompted by trade tensions and a perception that U.S. growth stocks were overvalued?
Yeah, I see this trade mostly as a bet that U.S. stocks, especially those Magnificent Seven tech darlings, have gotten way overheated after their two-year run. Don't get me wrong, investors piled into these companies thinking they'd rule the AI world, but now people are getting cold feet about how much cash they're burning. And things really started to wobble when the whole strong U.S. growth story lost steam after the president ignited a trade war with U.S. allies.
Before we get to the question of how long this might continue, what percentage of the U.S. stock market is held by foreign governments and investors?
According to the Tax Policy Center, foreign investors own more than 30% of U.S. corporate equities, both direct and indirect holdings. What's particularly striking is that European investors dominate this foreign ownership, with holdings exceeding $8 trillion, more than all other regions combined. This substantial European stake actually helped drive the recent rotation trade, as many investors repatriated capital, shifting market dynamics.
Do you expect that foreign investor sentiment toward U.S. stocks will decline sharply because of these trade and geopolitical tensions?
For me, I'm less concerned about shifting sentiment toward U.S. stocks and more worried about weakening confidence in the dollar. While equities have demonstrated extreme volatility, the Dow's recent decline following tariff announcements were particularly troubling. This reaction suggests markets may no longer view the currency as a reliable hedge against uncertainty. Should foreign investors lose faith in this dollar's safe haven status, we could see lasting consequences. Exchange rate volatility and potential depreciation might deter capital flows back to the U.S. markets, as currency risks could significantly erode portfolio returns of foreigners.
Thomas, if we can assume that these current tensions and trends will continue, do European stocks have plenty of room to grow?
You know, look, here's the deal. Europe's going to get hammered by these U.S. tariffs. No two ways about it. And let's be real, this pain isn't going away until those tariffs do. Why? Because Washington now sees any country running a trade surplus with America as cheating the system. So Europe's stuck between a rock and a hard place. Either get their consumers spending more or find new markets fast. Now, in theory, there's a way out. They could pull a Reagan and slash red tape across the block to spark innovation and productivity. Heck, if they really wanted to go big, they could even create some sort of fiscal union to make borrowing cheaper across the block just to create stimulus programs. You do that, and suddenly Europe's the hottest investment destination on earth. But let's not kid ourselves. Do I really think they'll do it? You know, I'll believe it when pigs fly, though never say never, right? Who knows? When their backs are against the wall, Europe may surprise us.
How about bonds? Are you anticipating that foreign investors will in fact turn away from U.S. treasuries as the dollar declines?
I do think that is a real risk. Without yield-insensitive buyers supporting our bond markets, treasury yields could surge dramatically. Why? Because traditional investors won't accept artificially low returns, especially as the U.S. keeps flooding the market with new debt issuance.
Where will these foreign investors go instead?
Right now, foreign investors are kind of stuck. They might just stay on the sidelines or even pull some money back home while they figure out their next move. Honestly, nobody's really sure which country comes out ahead in all of this.
Is any reasonable trend already starting, or can you see signs of it?
We've seen some folks dipping into the euro and yen as alternatives, but who knows if that'll last or if it's just a short-term play while everything's so up in the air. And hey, don't be surprised if gold and maybe even crypto starts looking real tempting soon.
How about U.S. investors who may be attracted by the tilt toward value stocks in European markets? Is there a danger that this might accelerate a decline in U.S. stock valuations?
Right now, it's still too early to tell. Anything can happen. If sentiment shifts on U.S. policy, we might see American investors bringing money back home, especially with more attractive valuations now. But first, they'll want some reassurance that the economy's on solid footing. That picture should start to clear up over the next few weeks as companies report earnings and we have a better understanding of trade policy.
Wanted to ask a question about those U.S. technology stocks, which have been hit hard recently. This comes after the Magnificent Seven stocks rose almost 24% from September to December. We did discuss in January a growing investor trend to treat these stocks as a safe haven, and you did warn at that time that they could be at risk for a correction. Do you think that after the recent pullbacks in tech stocks that they now warrant legitimate appeal as a safe haven?
I'm glad to talk about it because that call clearly did not age well, but I'm glad I at least flagged the downside risk. You know, right now with U.S. and global growth in question, I think hunting for value is a smarter move than piling into big tech. Sure, things could shift over the next few months, but there's still too much uncertainty to dive headfirst into the market's growthier sectors.
And finally, how are Confluence asset allocation models digesting all this volatility and adjusting to it? And what's your advice for investors?
While we're monitoring all market developments closely, we remain focused on identifying promising opportunities both domestically and globally. To investors, we'd emphasize that maintaining flexibility will be essential for successfully managing through this period of uncertainty.
Thank you, Thomas. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. Also, this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.